You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.
This is New Hampshire Now, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by New England College as well as Riverbend Community Mental Health. And this segment of the show brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli, a national impact that's unique in New Hampshire. For more information, check out rathlaw.com. Rath Young and Pignatelli, proud sponsors of New Hampshire primary interviews here on the New Hampshire Now program. Yesterday, Joe Walsh became the second Republican of note to primary challenge Donald Trump. Bill Weld signed up earlier this week, and I talked with him at the State House.
Joined by former Congressman Joe Walsh, just signed up to run for the First Nation presidential primary on the Republican side, primarying President Trump. And you're talking about a lot of the challenges that exist for any candidate that is going to run because so many Republican primaries are being canceled by state parties across the country. Does that render your effort being one that is largely ceremonial, or do you think you actually have a chance to win given those dynamics?
I think we have a good chance to win. I really do. I think a lot of people don't realize it. I think everything the party establishment is doing to protect Trump is pissing off Republican voters. It's up to us to let voters know what Trump and the party are doing.
So you don't view it as being a ceremonial effort. You think you could actually win? Or how would that kind of play out, though, in terms of the actual math dynamics?
Here's the deal. This is probably the most difficult thing I've ever done. I would never do this if it was just ceremonial. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put myself through this. So, yeah, we're doing it to win. Look, there are a lot of states, the four or five states that canceled their primaries. There is legal action against those states. Right. So we'll see if that's permanent. But there are 50-some states in this country. So, and we think and we know that Donald Trump is unpopular in a lot of states. So we think we have a decent chance to make it interesting.
So to make it interesting, yourself and Governor Weld are currently running. Do you see, as Governor Weld has mentioned, perhaps if one person is doing better than the other, that you throw your weight behind the other individual?
There needs to be one alternative to Trump. Right now, there's, as you said, Weld and Walsh. I think this will work itself out. We've got Iowa and New Hampshire in a couple, 2.5 months. Let's see how things shake out after there. But I really believe, and I don't know what Weld thinks, there needs to be one alternative to Trump.
A lot of your discussion about Trump was basically who he is and the danger that he's causing to our nation, both in the short term and in the long term. Do you think that that has to be the primary source of your message, or do folks have to know you to some extent?
It's a great question, and it's a difficult dance I'm dancing because I'm running only because of Trump. If it were any other president, it's not about issues. So, Trump is a clear and present danger. Part of what I've got to do is talk about why we can do better and talk about, and so here's kind of like the pivot. Because with Trump, it's all Trump 24/7, nothing else gets done. And I think the American people want to get shit done, and it won't with Trump in the White House. So that's a lot of what I talk about.
Do you feel that the reason that things are getting done is because of Trump, or is it a largely...
No.
It's
because
him.
Of Trump. It's because of Donald Trump. All Trump cares about is Trump. When was the last time Donald Trump tweeted anything about public policy? Mm-hmm. When was the last time Trump tweeted or talked about anything other than himself? This is the Trump soap opera. It's his show. Mm-hmm. He's getting impeached because of him. Mm-hmm. The border's a mess because of him. We're not rebuilding our infrastructure because of him. It's all because of him.
Do you feel that this has been a wasted opportunity for conservative leadership? Because there's obviously a thirst for a change agent to come in and do something. And Trump hasn't really, done anything, in my view, other than to create opportunity for, himself and to make the story about him and such. So does that mean that an opportunity for, conservative leadership on healthcare or on fiscal discipline, is that now kind of out the window, or can it be recovered in future generations?
It had better be recovered. It's like all Republicans now are just on pause. They're like paralyzed right now. They don't, because with Trump, everything's about Trump. All of my former colleagues aren't doing anything on healthcare. They're not doing anything on these issues. And again, I go back to what I said up there. They're all waiting for Trump to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And then they think things are just going to go back to the way they were. They're not, because Trump's not going to just leave the scene. That's why I'm so disappointed that so many of my fellow colleagues are not speaking out against him now, because they agree with what I'm saying.
So do you think that the Republican Party has been tarnished by Trump and
yes.
is going to be Trump for a long period of time and not to be reclaimed, and the folks that feel it's going to change, it's not
going
to happen?
Absolutely. If we don't, again, if there weren't, I wish there were 1,000 Joe Walshes right now speaking out against him. Because of Trump, young people hate the Republican Party. Because of Trump, women hate the Republican Party. Minorities hate the Republican Party. He's destroyed the Republican Party brand. Because of Trump, most people now think the Republican Party is a bunch of bigots and cruel people. And if we don't speak out against that, it's going to take a hell of a long time to get these voters back.
Are you surprised that it is just you and Weld? I mean, Kasich
yeah.
was here.
Yeah.
And it seems like one of the major challenges of this time period is whether it's voter apathy or political apathy, in that there's opportunity to step forward and lead by a Romney or a Kasich or Ben Sasse, or I could go on for a long period
yeah.
of time, but there's this timid nature of folks, and Trump just seems to kind of be able to steamroll all of these individuals into, you know, submission, it seems.
Trump's a bully. Bullies are cowards. The most disappointing aspect of all of this is that a bigger, better name than Joe Walsh didn't step up. I wrote an op-ed in the New York Times 3-4 months ago telling somebody to step up. The Ben Sasses, the Marco Rubios, the Mitt Romneys of the world, they all believe about Trump what I say. The fact that that nobody else has stepped up to challenge him is really, really disappointing.
So what do you think, you know, let's look ahead to 2024 and where the Republican Party is at that point. We've talked about the fact that it's going to be very difficult for Republicans to evolve outside of it. Do you think there's going to be a thirst in the Republican Party, given Trump's popularity, for something that resembles him? I think it's more likely one of his kids that would run for president in 2024. Or Mike
no.
Pence. Or do you think there's going to be a look for a clean split from Trump?
Look, let's always remember this. The country was divided before Trump. And I would argue it's the divide that helped create Trump. Trump has done nothing but make us even more divided. I think there is a yearning, because of Trump, there is a yearning for Republicans, principled conservatives, to stand up and be an anti-Trump. Talk about freedom, free trade, opportunity for all. And I think this is where the Republican Party has to go. And I think it's where the Republican Party will go.
Final thing, just in terms of kind of a process thing,
yes.
in New Hampshire, do you view yourself being in New Hampshire kind of a continuous basis leading up to the primary? You're going to split between Iowa and New Hampshire. What do you view as your best strategy moving forward to make the biggest impact in the two early states?
I'm in Illinois, so Iowa's my neighbor. I think I'm going to hop from Iowa to New Hampshire, Iowa to New Hampshire. I want to put up a really good number in Iowa. I want to surprise Trump, and I want to surprise people in Iowa, and I want to do the same thing in New Hampshire. Bill Weld is known well in New Hampshire, so we intend to do very well in New Hampshire as well. But to go back to one of your original questions, coming out of Iowa, New Hampshire, there better be one clear alternative to Trump.
Right.
I intend to be that alternative.
And final thing is, for undeclared voters here in New Hampshire who are going to make a determination as to which primary they're going to vote in and may decide to vote for, you know, Joe Biden or Pete Buttigieg because they think that would be the best alternative to Trump as opposed to voting in the Republican primary, what do you say to them and say, oh, it's a better thing to vote for somebody that's going to finish second but is going to, you know, make an impact in this primary versus having a better Democratic candidate?
Independents, Democrats, Republicans, everybody should cross over and vote in the Republican primary in New Hampshire and vote for Joe Walsh, because I'm their first shot to take out Donald Trump. I'm their first chance, their first opportunity to really put a wound onto Trump. That's the case we're going to make. If you want to take a shot at Trump, I'm your first chance to do it.
Congressman, thanks for your time.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
That is former Michigan Congressman Joe Walsh here on New Hampshire Now. 1450 at nhtalkradio.com. We return a conversation with New England College Professor of Political Science, Wayne Lesperance.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.